the hammer, Don. Don. Number one gambling podcast coming out of the PMI office. I am Tone Diggs. I am joined by Bubba Gumpino, who is on the desk. I am also joined by the still hot Pat McAfee.
Nah, the fucking Bucks. That roughing the passer, Lombardi Paisan. I heard you talking about it as I was running back in here, off air. How did he not know it was fourth down? There's a lot of things going on in my eyes. That should not have happened. We should not have lost that. But the under, Tony Unders, that's what we're here for.
There we go. Pat alluded to him, the fourth member of the show, Mr. Michael Lombardi. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. You know, I mean, that was one of those games where I think Tampa had every chance to win in spite of 11 penalties, in spite of being 3-for-11 on third down. In spite of being horrible in the red zone, I mean, they had every the Bears. God bless them, are 4-1, but they might be the ugliest 4-1 team in the league.
The Bears fans are not going to be happy with that because we talked about that earlier, and you can't help but talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' failures when you talk about that game last night, because there was a lot of them, and a lot of people were hurt. Mike Evans was nowhere near 100%, even though he scored a touchdown plus 500 boost on FanDuel to add first touchdown. Shout out to them and that. But Bears fans are like, of course, we get another win. We're 4-1. Nick Foles played some good football at some times last night. The future has some. Everybody's talking about the Buccaneers, not the Bears. And it's like, well, that's just the story of the game.
They made mistake after mistake after mistake. And then Foles in the first half, like he missed on that early third down that you tweeted me about, that there was no one in the flat within 20 yards of him. And he overthrew, I believe it was Allen Robinson, actually. And then it was a little post corner, little like dolphin route that he wasn't even anywhere close to on that. Mike, what did you think about Foles last night?
I thought he was really not very good, and you want to blame Nagy for their offense, but they have no run game, right? And they kept beating them on that wheel route to the back, and then when Patterson was the back too. But I mean, look, I don't know how far you can go with that at quarterback. I got a text from somebody in the league during the game telling me,
who was it?
We've not seen the last of MVP Mitch.
Who was it? Who texted you?
I can't really say. It's not fair.
Why were the Bucks corners sitting so far back the whole game?
I don't know.
There was third and seven at the end
Dean
of the game.
Played really well too, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah,
Dean
yeah,
was
he
all
did.
Over the place.
He almost hopped that one for a pick six, but at the end of the game, it was third and seven, and they're sitting back.
I don't know what they were doing there. Yeah, I know. On way back, I think Bowles is a good coach, though. I really do. I think Todd Bowles should get another chance. He got ripped off at the Jets. He had a bad general manager, and he never could overcome it.
I was going to say, last night, I think there's a few defenses in the league that are good, a handful, and I think both sides of the ball are good, even with all the mistakes on offense on both sides. What did you think of – you really think Tom didn't know what down it was?
Yeah, what?
No, I don't.
Hey,
I don't.
Hey, listen, Paisan, listen to me. 2020 has had some insane stuff happen, okay? It has had some insane stuff. In the March Madness got shut down, the world got – like whenever you – in the sports world, March Madness got shut down, the NBA all moved into a bubble, seasons were getting moved. I mean, there was insane stuff that has happened in the sports world in 2020. The greatest quarterback of all time, not knowing that it was fourth down in a game-winning situation, might have been the most alarmed I've been for everything. Like when March Madness got canceled, I was like, oh, well – I mean, they could have postponed it, but I guess this is crazy. Him doing that last night, I was just like, what in the world just happened? And this isn't shortly after Brian Hoyer gets tackled, no timeouts, end of half, in scoring position, sacked. I mean, this is two situations happening from people in an organization, in person that comes from an organization, that never happened. Situational football never fails for Tom Brady or for the Patriots. And now it's like, does Byron Leftwich have to remind him before every play what's going on? That's a bit of an overreaction. But I did not – I was mind-boggled whenever it happened last night.
And he didn't get hit. You know, you didn't see him get hit. It wasn't like he kind of was like not with himself. I mean, I'm not buying that excuse. Look, I don't think he played well. I think we have to, I mean, we saw Tom Brady last night and he, Mike Evans is behind the defense on 3rd and 24. Don't ask me how he was, but he was. And Brady threw one of those and Mike Evans looked like the center fielder who couldn't find the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, it was inside, outside. It's a touchdown if he just puts it on him.
Well, and then how about, Mike, I was talking, you're a big middle eight guy. Like, Tampa's up, what is it, 13-0? 13-0 with 2 minutes left in the first half. And their play calling leading into the half, and then their play calling.
They stopped that drive. Okay, this is the difference between Belichick and Arians. Okay.
Oh, so here we go.
They start that drive. First of all, the false start led to a third and 7 as opposed to a third and 17. So that 7 points that they got on that drive was really the refs gave them that. But okay, so they made a play. They're going to score, right? So it's 13-7. Now it's under 2 minutes. We're coming out. You got to start the clock there. You have got to start the clock there. You got to have a handoff and just let's go. Let's get the clock. Let's get everybody moving. We're in no danger of not having enough time. We'll get that clock moving. We'll get everybody up. You got to have different kind of 2 minute offenses. You got to have a hurry up, and then you got to have a pace 2 minute. And they throw two incomplete passes. Then the third one's fumbled. And now all of a sudden you walk into halftime down 14-13. That's inexcusable. That's on them.
Well, and then how about their penultimate drive where they go 3 and out and took like 12 seconds off.
That was the one before they punted where they got the – yeah, I mean, that drive was
at the end of the game,
might have been the worst drive of football.
Is Leftwich calling the plays or is Arians?
Leftwich. I think it was Leftwich. I think Leftwich is calling them. But the execution wasn't – I mean – look, you got to find a way when they got that ball back with 2-something to go in the game. Mm-hmm. A, you want to go down and score a winning touchdown and leave no time on for you to get beat
and cover.
Most importantly,
and cover for Mr. Mackin, right? And me too. So you know, I that was really a horrible 2 minute team. And they're not ranked high on 2 minute. I mean, hold on, I'll give it to you right now. But their two minute offense. Is 20th in the National Football League.
Which is not normal for Brady.
Not normal for any great quarterback.
No.
Like 2 minute drills when great quarterbacks are great quarterbacks. Like that's wild.
Michael, and then how about what did you think? I thought it was a little weird that Nagy, I think he could have ran a lot more time off the clock. He decided to throw the ball to go for a first down on their last drive. To try to run out.
That was horrible.
Yeah,
he
I did too.
He wasn't playing two dimensions. He had to score but leave no time. Right?
Yes.
He had to do both. He had to score and leave no time, and he was just really worried about scoring. He left them way too much time. Way too much time. Like that crossing route that he completes where Tampa uses their last timeout, uh-huh. the third down before they kick the field goal, that should have been a run.
Mm-hmm.
Because you wanted to make sure that clock was going to run and use that last timeout. They got fortunate. They executed the pass. But that should have been some kind of controlled pass. That's incomplete, and Tampa gets the ball back with one timeout to go down the field, and you're only up by a point. You're giving yourself – you've got to weigh in the fact that if you're up by 7, it's different than you're up by 1.
How do these decisions get made that seem so amateur? Like, in your eyes, because the way you're laying this out, it's like, this is just, hey, this is how it is. Like, yo, this is what you got to do. You got to do
it. I don't think a lot of guys understand how – I think guys are so buried with their head in the play sheet, they can't see the game.
Ooh.
We've lost it. We've lost head coaches. We don't have head coaches anymore. We have some, but we don't. We have too many guys just looking down at their sheet. What am I going to call next? And us as bettors are relying on a head coach to help us, and we're getting no help.
Just do what we expect you to do, huh, will you, please? That is all we're asking for. Make the decisions.
I mean, Matt Nagy has no idea how to manage the game at the end. I mean, he was showing you everything he knew at the end of that game.
He really did. It is wild. Like, we're sitting there watching the game, and we know what to do. I mean, we're like, what are you guys doing? And then
I told my wife upstairs, you know, we're watching the end of the game, and when they came out, they got to run it here. And, of course, he throws an incomplete pass, and she looks at me like I'm an idiot. they needed to run it there. She's like, well, so much – you don't know – so much for you. How no? Like, seriously, like, they got to run it here. Like, you got to – like, you watch a two-minute drill with New England, they're going to start the two-minute drive with a run. They want the clock working for them, not working against them.
Or an extended run with a screen or something very easy.
Something where the ball's going to stay in play. Yes. Right, exactly. A controlled pass that you can complete. Because here's what you don't want. Because if you throw an incomplete on first down, what has to happen on second down? You got to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you throw an incomplete on second down, now you got to throw it on third down. And then 16 seconds have gone off the clock and that's you're punting back to it.
That was tough to watch last night because if they would have scored, we still would have hit the under. You know, if they go down and kick a field goal, we still hit the under. So it was like we were put in a position to
– That game should have been as close as it was. Tampa's going to kick themselves in the ass for that.
Bucks were up 13-0. They were rolling.
It should have been, they should have kept putting. And the Bears were on the ropes, and that offside, that was a horrible call. How bad was that call?
There was a lot of calls.
So much for the refs keeping the flags in their pockets, eh, Mike?
A lot of flags, Mike. It's going to happen.
They came out last night.
It's going to continue, I think. I think this is going to be
I think the unders might go back into play. You might think about unders this week.
You're telling me, my friend. That was the game that brought back all the unders, my friend. Trust me, I know. All right, let's move on. Let's get into some games that we didn't talk about yesterday. There's three of them that I want to cover. First off, Panthers at Falcons. Panthers are getting 1.5. What are your thoughts on this game? I have mine. I'm sure the boys, I know Gumpy's on my side with this. What do you think about Panthers going to Falcons? Panthers are the dogs here.
I don't have any.
You know, and the line is, and everything is moving towards Carolina, right?
Correct, yeah. I mean, it's gone from 3.5.
I mean, the Westgate, Caesars, they're all at -1. Atlanta.
Yeah,
the line opened at -3.5.
Yeah, Panthers were 3.5. Now FanDuel's 1.5, but yeah, I am seeing some ones pop up. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so this is one of those where look, Atlanta's not very good on defense, and Carolina, I thought they played really good on. Derek Brown played well last week, you know, and Teddy Bridgewater can manage the game, and they do a really good job of. I mean, this Mike Davis kid they got for the Bears through Seattle and San Francisco, he's run the ball really hard, and I think they play with a sense of toughness. And, you know, Atlanta, everybody's waiting for them just to turn it on with Julio. And, look, let's face it, Carolina is limited in the secondary. They're not very talented back there, but they can put some little bit of pressure on the quarterback. I think Burns is playing really well.
Burns is very good.
Derek Brown, Quan Short, those guys are playing good. You know, my instincts tell me lean towards Carolina here. This isn't one I played on the pod today, but I think I like Carolina. The money's split right down the middle. It's 50-50.
Yeah.
And yet the line is moving to Carolina.
Correct. And the thing about it to me is, yeah, there's 58% of the tickets on Carolina, but the money is split 50-50. I feel like it's teams heading in two different directions. Like the Panthers seems like they are improving every week, while the Falcons are just falling apart and potentially seems like they're not playing as hard as they possibly can for Dan Quinn. And who knows if Julio is going to play? Like, and for me, this is most likely going to be a play for me this week on Carolina. We'll get to that later.
Really?
I love the Panthers. Oh,
Gumpy, what do you got?
Panthers, their last 21 games.
Okay.
Coming off an underdog win. 18-3 straight up.
Okay.
And 17-4 against the spread. I love Teddy Two Gloves.
Pat, what do you think?
I just put a bet in. I didn't even think about this game. I had no idea this game was even happening, to be completely candid. Mm-hmm. And as you guys were talking there, and you were talking about the two different directions, I think that's very real. That Falcons team, I don't know how long that whole thing stands down there. Now, is Julio going to have a night that's insane? Who knows? Are they going to be able to figure it out on the defense side of the ball because they got a lot of ass? Who knows? But Teddy Bridgewater looked very comfortable last week. He's slicing and dicing people at this point. I bet it. I didn't even know the game was happening. I bet Carolina Panthers +1.5.
Attaboy.
And I like the Panthers straight up.
There you go.
I like the Panthers straight up. Here we go.
Next game is Colts at Browns. Go ahead, Pat. What do you got?
No, that'll be my pick. I'll be part of my picks.
Next game, Colts at Browns. It opened as Browns 2.5-point dogs. I'm now seeing the Cleveland Browns as 1-point favorites. Michael, check me if you're seeing the same thing there.
I've got the Browns. I got it as a pick'em game.
Okay.
Pretty much across the board. It opened up at 1.5, and then it's moved. I mean, but the Browns have 88% of the money on them.
Correct. 56% of the tickets, 88% of the money. FanDuel does have the Browns at -1 right here. We just heard today that Darius Leonard and Costanzo are out for the Colts. Obviously, Nick Chubb is out for the Browns.
Luke, I just put a bet on. I forgot.
What do you think about this one, Michael?
I like the Colts here.
Okay,
I think the Colts are
back.
Playing good on defense. I think they're playing really good. I think that, you know, Phillip Rivers cannot turn this ball over. They've got to help the left tackle with Costanzo being out. But I think that offensive line is pretty good. I think Rivers can move. Look, Joe Burrow moved the ball on him. I think they've beaten Cincy, Washington, and a bad Dallas team. No, nothing against the Brownies. But, you know, I think this is going to be the best team they've played all year. I think this will be the hardest game they've played all year. And I think I like Indy. My numbers say Indy. So I'm going to go with Indy on this one.
Did you take Indy too, Bet?
I just bet Indy while we were talking about it there. And then you reminded me that Costanzo's out and Darius Leonard's out. And then as he was talking there, I had to think about this. Darius Leonard was out last week. Defense still looked good. So mm-hmm. Darius yep. Leonard is a game changer. But I think the system, the scheme, and that defense in general can take that. The issue here is Myles Garrett. Yeah. When I listened to the Kevin Stefanski mic'd up that I listened to, he was literally just like, eh, Myles Garrett, time to get a strip here. And then it happened. So, like, that is a part of their plan. Like, okay, Myles Garrett, the reason why we just paid him is because this guy not only gets quarterback, but he also gets the ball out of the quarterback's hand. That is something that, you know, there's a lot of people that do it. But he is very good at it. TJ Watt's another guy that's very good at that. Robert Mathis was a guy that was king of it. Dwight Freeney, you get it. There's a couple guys that do that. Myles Garrett's one of them. And without Costanzo in, and he has been a staple on that Colts team for a long time, very good football player, that doesn't have any Pro Bowls, I don't think, or maybe has one Pro Bowl, but he has been great for a long time. They're going to have Jack Doyle over there. They're going to have to chip Myles Garrett. They're going to have to really handle that situation because Phillip Rivers ain't outrunning anybody. But I think the Browns' offense is going to struggle mightily. So now I'm like kind of in an interesting situation. It's like, who do I think will they be able to handle Myles Garrett? And will the Colts defense be able to handle the Browns offense? I think the Colts defense will. I don't know if they'll be able to handle Myles Garrett.
I'm not taking it, but I might take it on Sunday. If there was an underplay this week, I think this is one of the games because I believe the defenses are potentially better than the offenses in this situation. The key matchup here is Cleveland is number one in almost every single rushing category, and against the Colts defense, who is top five in every single against the rushing category. So this is one of those games where, like, Baker, if your team can't establish the run, are you able to make enough plays with your tight ends and weapons outside to win a football game?
Kenny Moore is really good.
Colts tend to play up against good teams too.
Yep. I like the Colts here. I think the Brown. I think not having Chubbs, I think Hunt's a good player, but not having that dual threat is problematic.
It's really the most interesting. It's really the only game. There's a lot of big spreads this weekend. It's really this is by far the best game of the weekend on Sunday as far as teams that actually have potential of making the playoffs. And it'll be very interesting to see. Gumby, you have any stats on that game?
Colts, their last 15 versus teams with a winning record, 12-3 against the spread. So I do like the Colts in that game.
Hey, me too, all of a sudden. I like them a lot more than I just did about a couple seconds ago.
I mean, I think Frank Wright's a really good coach. I think he'll scheme it up so where they can take Garrett and make sure he doesn't disrupt the whole offense.
All right, and then the last game that I wanted to talk about, let me make sure I got the line right here, was Vikings at Seahawks. Vikings are getting 7 going to Seattle. Let me see where the money is on this one.
It's all on Minnesota.
Yes, it is. 98%, correct?
Yep. And here's what makes you worry about this. It's 98% on Minnesota, Jeez. And yet they won't give you the hook.
Correct. They have not taken it to 7.5.
They will not take it to 7.5. And I have a feeling on Sunday this will go down to 6.5. There's going to be some steam coming in on Seattle Sunday.
Vikings stink in Seattle. 0-4 against the spread, their last four.
So, Michael, so I was looking at the Vikings this morning just because, I mean, this is going to be an offensive game. It's going to go back and forth. There's a potential backdoor for the Vikings here. 40% of the tickets on the Vikings, 97% of the money. And then I looked at the history. And the last two seasons, the Seattle defense has kept the Vikings offense pretty much in check. And Seattle has won by, I believe, 8-14 the last 2 years. Is that something to pay attention to?
Yeah, I think it's really. I think they have. I mean, they're going to move the ball on Minnesota. Like, I think this is. I think if I were to play this one and recommend, this is one I considered almost playing. I was going to take Seattle.
Okay.
You know, again, low money count on Seattle. I get Russell Wilson, and I get them to. I know their defense isn't any good, but I know Minnesota's defense isn't very good either.
When you said that they won't give them the hook, what do you mean? You mean that there's a chance that somebody would
all this. So they set the line, Pat, at 7, and they started taking a boatload of money on Minnesota, right? And they started taking a boatload of money on Minnesota, so they won't move off to 7. They won't go to 6.5 because the typically when you're taking a lot of money, they're not going to go. If they were taking money on Seattle, they would go to 7.5, but they don't want to get, they're not going down to 6.5. They want to keep it at the 7 number.
Yeah, which makes sense. Which is weird, because like if all that money's coming in on Minnesota, they want to then take the line to 6.5 or 6 so that they get more money on Seattle. As soon as that number goes to 6.5, 6, they, I assume it would get a lot of Seattle backers then, I assume, right, Michael?
Yeah, and don't be surprised. I mean, if it goes to 6.5, it'll be for a minute, it'll go up to 7.5.
Beyond that, like a dirty shirt.
Yep,
the favorite, exactly. And the home team does well in this one. The the last 7, the favorite and the home team is 6-1 against the spread. I love the Seahawks here.
So we're watching that get to 6.5.
Too. I love that gump. The fact that you love the low money. I still think low money. When you look at these low money games, you know, less than 25%. I don't like. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example why I like the Colts. Going back to that, Colts have a low money count. They also have a low money count with high ticket money. So that all the money, the heavy money, is coming in on the Colts.
So that's the shops. You say that's the us. That's what we do.
I call that the sharp provolone, because I don't know who these sharps are. It's like cheese. Like where the fuck they come from? Like sharp provolone. You know, last night, one of the things we talked about on the pod, right? I said the one thing I liked about Chicago, and I took Tampa, was I liked that they had low ticket, high money. Yeah, I like low ticket, high money.
So other games that are getting less than 25%, the Ravens are getting only 14% against the Bengals.
There is a worry there. Joe Mixon is questionable.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's going to play, I heard today.
Oh, he's good? All right.
The Chiefs are only getting 18% against the Raiders.
Here's something I want to throw out to you guys. I was thinking about this today. How about if you took all the – if you just teased all the road barkers – you took the Giants plus, I think it's at 8.5 now. I love the Giants at 9.5. It was. I like them still at 8.5. But if you took all the road barkers, the Giants, the Bengals, the Eagles, Miami, and Vegas, and you tease them in a 5-team teaser.
Okay, let's see here. You want the Giants, the Eagles? You want to throw the Washington football team in there or no?
You could throw that, whatever the highest lines are. Yeah, I would rather have Washington in there than Vegas.
Okay.
Washington's at home, too.
What about the Dolphins? You want the Dolphins in there? They're 7. Or they're...
I would take the Dolphins in there, too.
Dolphins will go up with Jimmy G getting the start, too, I believe.
What about the Chargers and Saints? You want to throw them in there, too, Michael?
I don't want to throw them in there.
Okay.
I don't trust Anthony Lynn anymore.
So right now, we have the Bengals plus 12.5. That's before the tees. The Eagles plus 7. Washington football team plus 7. Dolphins plus 8.5. And the Giants plus 8.5?
Yeah.
Okay, and if you tease that,
5-game teaser
plus 400.
5-team teaser is plus 400.
Let's go, dude.
And you would get them at plus 18.5, plus 13, plus 13, plus 14.5, plus 14.5.
Max bet. How you doing? Keep it moving.
Something to think about is what you're saying, Michael. Huh?
Yeah, that's. I think it's something to consider, because these lines, and I'm going to take. I recommend it on my pod to take the Giants. I don't know, Gump, but whenever there's a divisional game, they're usually closer than ever people think they are.
Yeah.
Divisional favorite.
So I would take that. And I like the Eagles, not to win the game, but I think they'll cover against Pittsburgh. I really do.
Yeah, what's it all about? I think the Steelers win by 24 to 28 points, maybe.
Yeah, but, you know, and if the Eagles don't block the front, they won't. But I don't think, and Tone knows, I don't think we've seen the best of Ben yet.
No. What worries me, too, is protecting him a little bit this week, because when I was looking up earlier, we were talking about this game. Steelers are number 1 in sack percentage in the league. The Eagles are number 2 in sack percentage in the league. So also another under opportunity here, potentially.
Yep.
The NFC East has been by far the worst division against the spread as well.
That is not a surprise.
Bingo!
That is 100% not a surprise. All right, let's get into the portion of the show everybody comes for. We're going to do our picks. Pat, you still have honors of who you want to hear first.
What are the records?
Oh, Mitt, you got the records, pal?
What are the records? Just so I can look at it a little bit. 15-8.
That was a tough one last
night. It was bullshit.
Man. We were on the right side.
Yeah, we were.
You were on the right side. Hey, that happens, boys. That happens.
Put it there, pal.
Who you want
to
go?
I can't wait to hear what Lombardi's picking.
Go ahead, Michael.
Because everyone says he leans, he doesn't lean, he doesn't pick, he does this.
All right, I'm taking, I like the Giants.
Okay.
I had it at 9.5. I think it's down to 8.5 now. I still like the Giants.
It is at 8.5, yep.
I like the Colts.
Okay.
And if you give me a point, thank you very much.
You're
and
welcome.
I like Philly, and I'll take the 7. Thank you very much. Those are my three.
Congratulations, Paizan, getting the picks in there.
Hey, by the way, Michael, we're restarting the Survivor since we had a winner. This time we're giving out a prize, though. We're giving out a Survivor +/-1 pinky ring, okay?
Yeah. This week my Survivor would be – who haven't I used? I would say – can I use Tampa as my no, Chicago as my Survivor?
Yeah.
I'll go New England in the Survivor.
Okay. So we'll give you 7 on that. Is that cool?
Well, that's right. That line's really ridiculous. That's right. You also do Survivor with lines. Let me go Miami on the Survivor.
Cool. All right, you get the Dolphins +9.5 then.
Like that. Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Michael, appreciate you. Right. Oh no, hold on.
Guys, talk to you soon. Thank you.
Bison.
Okay, Mike.
That's on me. I wanted to keep him around for our picks, but
you did just kind of kick him out.
That's on me. That's on me.
He's just kind of kicked him out.
Spooted him out.
You want me to go?
The young Italian says, old Italian.
Yeah.
Get out.
Why don't you make your picks now that you kicked him off?
Enough room for the old boy. So
I was going to give 5 picks today, but I got talked out of the Vikings and the Browns. So those are going to go throw it in the garbage, okay?
Why? In the trash. Why did you get talked out?
Everyone.
The stats against the Vikings.
I had 2 heart picks. I had 2 numbers picks, and those were the Vikings and the Browns.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't really tied to those ones.
Yeah,
I'm throwing those out. Mm-hmm. And then there's 1 pick that I just think is going to lose, but we all agreed on it yesterday, and that's the Bengals. So my first pick is the Bengals +12.5.
I like it a lot. That's one we do like, right?
Yeah, that's the squad pick. Yeah.
I am taking the Houston football Texans -5.5.
Good move.
I mean, that's just
– smart move.
That seems like something you need to do. And then I'm taking the Carolina Panthers +1.5.
I love it, Tony.
Oh, do you, Gump?
I love it, Tony.
I think I do too.
Do you? What are you taking?
I'm going to listen to what Gumpy's taking first. That's what happens when you're
– Yeah, you get to do
it. It favors the leader.
It does.
This particular thing, which is nice. It's good to be here.
I got the Panthers.
Oh, no.
The Texans.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
The Bengals.
Okay, same.
The Colts.
Jesus.
And the Hawks.
You know what?
We had Adam Thielen on the show.
I'm not going to be a bitch this week. I'm adding the Vikings and the Browns back on.
Wow. You like the Brownies.
Vikings and the Browns. I'm adding them back on.
He wants to go to war.
I do want to go to war. Let's go to war, baby.
All right. I like the Bengals +12.5. Okay. I like the Texans -5.5. Just strictly because if you have a player revolt,
yeah,
and the revolt works. You have to play good.
1,000%.
Like you have to play good. And if you don't, by the way, I will put the Texans on the do not bet list if they do not.
They are very close to being on that
list. Very, very, very close. I will put them on that list if that happens. I also like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
A lot.
Appreciate that.
I like the Pittsburgh Steelers a lot. And I know – I didn't know that little stat, that funny little stat that you dropped in. It was kind of like
they can also rush the passer?
An atonic bomb. You know what I mean? Like that particular one. I did not expect that stat.
That's all right. Ben, I believe Ben is 3rd in the league in getting the ball out, like 2.5 seconds or something like that.
So you were a little leading journalism there.
Well, I mean,
he was kind of painting a picture in a different fashion, much like, you know, Zito did with the poll earlier today.
Yeah.
I like the Colts +1. And, that's all I'm doing. That's cool. It.
And the Colts?
Yeah, and the Giants.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to keep riding with the Giants.
All right, so you got 5 picks, too.
Yeah. So I'm going with the Giants. Yeah, I'll go Giants +8.5. I feel pretty good about them.
I like this board.
I like the board, too. I mean, but it does get interesting when it's that big because it's like, what do they know? You know what I mean? Like,
hey.
Seattle Seahawks, I did not expect them to be 7 over the Vikings, just strictly because the Vikings might have figured it out for the first time last week.
Another reason why I am on the Seahawks, the Vikings barely beat the Texans, who were probably trying to lose.
I didn't even think about that.
Seahawks are due for a loss. The Seahawks are due for a loss. All right, let's do the Survivor. The winner gets a chrome-plated 24-karat gold pinky ring that also can be worn around a necklace if it doesn't fit your pinky. Nick, you won last...
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Whose pinky is fitting?
I'm going to take an average of everyone in the office.
Smart. That's smart.
But it can't be smaller than... The largest one.
We should try to get this Quaylo company.
Yeah, we should.
Like, make a cool pinky ring.
Nick. I appreciate you guys putting in the consideration after I've already won.
Well, I actually did say that since we're going to have a prize.
No, we're going to get you two.
No, this does feed the Nick narrative that he does get fucked over on a regular basis. And that is currently happening right now.
Underdog mentality.
Karma's a real thing.
I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers, the hometown team.
Gay.
The Eagles' offensive line absolutely stinks. They have no receivers. Their run game's average. And Carson Wentz is playing like a bum this year. I'm all in on the Steelers.
Okay.
Minus six. That's a reigning champion, by the way. Yeah, no pinky ring, but the reigning champion.
Mr. Mansuri.
Hey, let's take the hometown New York Giants plus 9.5.
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's go. Hey, we don't play 100% 70 plays a game.
Oh, he's talking about his Avery Woods' safety.
Wow.
By the way, it might go the different way.
That's an in-division shot.
Because he might play all 70 plays as hard as he can because he just probably people will be looking for him.
Giants are winning the NFC East with a 4-12 record.
Possible.
That would
be
hilarious.
Possible.
Papa Cheeks, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the Cowboys over the Giants for all the exact opposite reasons.
Minus 7.5. You got the Cowboys.
Hey, I want to let you know, I love your 100 Thieves jersey.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. It's the Gator, too.
The Gator, the 100 Thieves Gator? Oh,
yeah. You're unbelievable, right, dude.
You're only allowed to wear those on Sundays, NFL Sundays. Only allowed to say
that. Ty.
I'm also going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think stink.
Steelers and minus 6.
I was going to do the same, but if three of us get wiped out in Swift Carson Wentz.
Let's say that if the Eagles win, I'll buy Dal Sandro's for everybody. Cheese steaks for everybody in the office if the Eagles win.
I like it.
Connor, are you ready to make a pick or not?
I also, like everybody else, love the Steelers.
I'm not going to take the
Survivor Pool. I'm going to go ahead and do KC minus 10.5.
I like that, actually.
KC, again, they had a slow week last week. Mahomes will remind everybody, Vegas, COVID outbreak. Be careful over there.
Who is next? Jay, you got a pick back there, bud?
Yeah, I'll take the Chargers, actually.
That's a good pick.
Oh, what are they? Plus
8.5 right here.
So you'll get them at 9.5.
That's a great pick, Jay.
I like Jay. I like that. Foxy, you got a pick or no?
Yeah, I was going to take the Steelers, but too many people have taken the Steelers.
Smart. Hey, legit. That's a real problem.
I'm not going to do it. It almost makes me want to take the Eagles, but the Eagles stink, so I'll just stay with the Colts plus 1.
Good job.
You get them at plus 2, my friend.
You still got my pick, Tone.
What's your pick, Zeke?
I'm taking the home team.
Well, they don't play.
They played last night.
But I always pick the Bears.
Yeah, but they played last night.
But I gave you my pick yesterday.
And it's his birthday tomorrow.
Yeah. You going to do anything for that, Tony?
All right, Zito's in the next week.
Happy birthday, Zeke.
Let's go.
Mitt, what are you doing?
All right, I'm going with can you hear me? I'm going with the Giants.
Giants, okay. Plus 9.5. Is anyone else in this office that I can't see? Okay, so it goes to us. Gumpy.
Texans minus 4.5.
He piece of shit. That's probably what I didn't see.
Oh, man. That's the move. I'm doing the same. Okay. Texans minus 4. I would like it to be known, much like everybody else that spoke before us, Gumpy and I probably really liked the Steelers at one point, but the Texans minus 4.5 is the right answer, I think, right now.
And I think
the reigning champ Nick was so confident too, and he won last year's Survivor Pool like it was nothing. What if he gets wiped out week one with half the party?
That's a Survivor Pool,
bro. That fucking pinky ring would look good, wouldn't it, if all those Steelers pickers were gone this weekend?
I'm joining the table.
Steelers,
Texans.
Oh, you're with us?
I'm joining the table.
Smart move.
I'm joining the table.
Will you drop him a stat nuke on being a good idea joining the table?
I mean. Just win, baby.
Are you changing your pick?
I am not changing my pick. But I know this is a football show. I do have a baseball league tonight,
which
though.
Which we've been hot on.
Take the Yankees minus 1.5. Garrett Cole's pitching. Last year, he pitched against the Rays in a deciding game 5 again. Dominated them. Had 10 Ks. Went 7 innings. Tyler Glasnow is pitching on 2 days rest, which he's very good, but 2 days rest is not easy. Rays needed to win last night to put the Yankees away. I like that a lot. I'm going to do the same thing. Go Yanks.
That's not a bad pick. By the way,
Glasnow gave up 4.
We have been hot on the diamond.
That's plus 114. You two have been red hot on the diamond. By the way, secret time too, whenever they do the fucking picks for the baseball tournament, you guys talk amongst yourselves. This is a gambling show. Would be nice if everybody could win. You know, I go into a meeting, I come out all here, celebrations. I'm like, oh, we just hit a 4-game fucking tease on baseball. Happened. I'm like, what are you talking about? Can we not get a heads up? Maybe a group text, maybe on the podcast say, hey, which is what you just did, by the way. Very nice of you. But you.
I didn't look at baseball today because it's football. It's football Friday.
It's football, baby.
Oh, fuck you, Gump. You were involved in that whole thing, too.
I
know you've
been. I haven't bet a game of baseball all week.
Yeah, you've been.
He's on footy. He's on footy.
Oh, soccer's back next week.
Next week. International break right now.
All right. Can't thank everyone enough. Once again, if you can't catch us at 3 o'clock every Monday, Thursday, Friday, we put it out as a podcast right after. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck this weekend. Tweet Gumpy your winners at HammerDon.
Instagram and Twitter
to be featured on there. And we can't appreciate you enough. And Pat, how much money did you put on bets today?
$1,000 I just put on Yankees there. I know nothing about baseball, but I know that the boys have been celebrating a lot while watching baseball. Mm-hmm. So if they're on a heater, I'm going to jump on it. Today, every time we get in and do this show, it is a very expensive show when we're talking the football thing. But I feel like there's no show that has – like, I feel like Lombardi is a real weapon.
Oh, he's very much a
weapon.
His
football knowledge is untouched.
Somebody tweeted us yesterday, like, I have no idea how you got Lombardi in as well, because Pat and Lombardi love each other. That's how we got him.
Yeah.
But he's a wealth of knowledge.
And when he starts talking strategy and how they should look at the game and this team couldn't do this, I'm just like, man, I feel like I felt like I had a pretty good football IQ, but whenever he starts talking, I'm like, oh, that's next level. And I'm very happy. He's all in with gambling. That's good news for all of us here.
All right. Can't thank you guys enough. Good luck. Hammer Don.
Have a great weekend, Don.